This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk, and I'm sitting here with Chris Childers, and we are discussing the Seabull Sailors program that is at Golden Gate Yacht Club. What exactly is this program?
Hey, Karen. The Seabull Sailors program is an initiative by U.S. Sailing. We're hoping to remove barriers to the sport and really barriers to continued participation. So U.S. Sailing saw a big dramatic decline among middle school age kiddos who've maybe completed a summer camp but can't figure out how to continue to access the sport. So the Seabull Sailors program goes specifically to our sailing communities around the country and tries to figure out ways to remove those barriers by providing equipment, coaching, and consulting with each club to figure out ways to increase participation at their center, in their region, and around the country.
So what is the relationship between the Golden Gate Yacht Club and your program?
Golden Gate Yacht Club has a youth sailing foundation. They applied to be a part of the first round of the Seabull Sailors program. So there was an application process in 2019, and they got in. They are a supporting center. Each region comes with several supporting centers and one primary center. So Golden Gate Yacht Club is one of two supporting centers in the Bay Area, alongside Alameda Community Sailing Center and the Treasure Island Sailing Center.
So what is this experience like for these middle school students who come out to sail on one of these sailboats?
That is a great question, because one of the things that really called me strongly to this program is what we do here in San Francisco in our unique location is very special to me. I wasn't ready to accept a cookie cutter program from U.S. Sailing, but what we're able to do is really organic to each individual center that we do. And of course, at Golden Gate, we have one of the best venues you could ask for. We get our middle school kiddos really pre-high school coming out to see if they want to continue sailing on a high school competitive sailing team, to see if they might want to try out keelboats in that environment, to see what it's like to learn other great life lessons that you get from sailing. What's their experience like day to day? We do sailing school just like other folk. We do it in a pretty cool place and on a fast, fun boat, and really just focusing on helping kids have a great time, learning how to be good learners and community members as they're doing it. You know, one of the big things is high school sailing in California is really competitive. One thing Golden Gate Yacht Club really wanted to do with its Seabull Sailors program is provide a feeder program to help out the greater high school sailing program in the Bay Area with more folks who've got a foundation of skills before they even get to high school. But really proud that we can get sailors on a fast, fun boat learning the basics to give them a better shot at having success in high school sailing.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday. This is when we get out on the open waters with SailSportTalk.com and a couple of guests in studio. First of all, we say hello to our friend Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. Just so happy to be here.
All right, try it again.
I'm doing great. So happy to be here.
All right. And also in studio with us is Michael Maradzada, and he is here to talk about the Pack Cup Regatta, which is a 2,070-mile sailing race from San Francisco to Honolulu. This started in 1980 from the Pacific Cup Yacht Club. Michael, welcome in studio. Tell us a little bit more about your background and about the cup, please.
Well, thanks a lot for inviting me here. The Pacific Cup started, as you said, in 1980. It was thought that we really needed a big ocean race from San Francisco. The Transpac, which of course is the grandfather of these, was originally intended to start in San Francisco in 1906, but something happened that made them move it to LA.
An earthquake?
I believe that's correct. So we finally reclaimed our role there. The race was run informally, or a little less formally, out of Bolina Bay Yacht Club, and then the Pacific Cup Yacht Club was formed, as is often done around some of these major regattas. It's a dedicated virtual club that runs the race.
So tell us about your boat, because you have one and you've raced in it.
I do. So this is my second transocean boat. My first was a Passport 40, which is more of a cruising design. It's a wonderful boat for any kind of voyage. My
That's a
new
nice boat.
Boat, new to me boat, is a Santa Cruz 50, which is specifically designed for transoceanic racing. The boat names of the boat is Oaxaca, O-A-X-A-C-A.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1981, it actually won the Transpac. And we've been sailing it ever since. We thought about changing the name when we got the boat, but it had such a nice history. We didn't want to change it. People keep coming up and saying, oh, I sailed on that boat in 1400 or whenever.
Well, and I see you in the bay. So when I'm out sailing, so I see you out there sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful boat.
So, you know, a lot of us think, well, you just pop over to Hawaii on a flight. It's not that bad. You just kind of sail out past the Farallones and go, you know, southwest and you make it. But it's much more perilous than that, isn't it?
Well, you know, yes and no. The good thing about danger on the water is it's obvious. If you fall off the boat, you will die, probably. And what that means is people take a lot more care. We put a tremendous amount of effort into curtailing those perils. We run lines down the side of the boat that we clip into. We wear flotation. Really, the most dangerous part is when you're near shore, because that's where they keep the rocks.
Mm.
Well, you also race in the Lipton Cup, which is a race that's coming up here very shortly.
I am principal race officer for the Lipton Cup. I've actually never raced in it, much to my disappointment, but it looks like a lot of fun, and we'll try to make it a lot of fun for our competitors this year.
How does it work? Sorry, go ahead.
I just want to know how many entrants you have in the Pack Cup this year.
That's been an exciting process. When I was Commodore of the Pacific Cup in 2020, we had to cancel the race, and about half of our entrants rolled over. We opened up the entries to the general public at some point, and it almost immediately sold out, and we went to a waiting list. I think at one point our entry list was 90 boats. Since then, natural attrition, which always happens, has pared the number down to 69 boats. I suspect following this week's Coastal Cup and California Offshore Race Week, we may have a few more boats realize maybe this isn't the year for them. We'll see.
I'm just interested, since 1980 to now, how long it on average it takes to get there. Have you shaved minutes, hours, or days off the time from 1980?
Well, I personally have, because I got a much faster boat. My first passage was 17 3/4 days. Sadly, the time limit was 17 1/2 days, so they didn't even say anything to me. My fastest run with an amazing crew on the faster boat was 9 1/4 days.
Wow.
The course record is 5 or 6 days with these amazing 160-foot machines.
5 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe
that's
six.
All wind-aided. No motors.
No motors.
Wow.
When you're on an ocean race, it's a lot different than doing a race in the bay or somewhere that's an enclosed space where everybody can see everybody. How often do you see your competitors, and how much do you feel that you're racing if you don't see them?
That's an excellent question, and it's one of the key differentiators between ocean racing as we're running it these days and in the bay racing. For ocean racing, you make a tactical call, and you're going to wait some amount of time to find out how that did compared to your competition. It used to be that we'd have a once-a-day Morse code or radio check-in, you know, that you got your position with your sextant. That was before my time. I'm not that old. Now we use trackers, and we still delay that information by 4 hours. You'll see other boats in the fleet. They may or may not be in your division, so you won't care about them. There's been discussion of should we be able to know where all the other boats are in real time all the time, and many of the navigators say, oh God, please no, because then I'd have to stay up 24 hours a day watching the computer screen.
A couple more questions for Michael Maradzada for the PAC Cup. It's going to start here on the 4th of July. Very patriotic, of course. When you go to Hawaii from San Francisco, are you in shipping lanes, or are there shortcuts, or is it just shortest distance is A to B?
You definitely, or I should say, you rarely want to sail the shortest distance. Unlike the ships, which do want to sail their shortest distance. So on the start, yes, we cross through a shipping lane. Keep your eyes open, put up your radar reflector, whatever, keep your AIS on. Once we're out there, it's pretty much the Wild West. There's no shipping lanes out there. However, there are regular paths that ships will travel from, say, Los Angeles to Singapore. They're just following a Great Circle route, which is the shortest route on the water.
Mm-hmm.
We, on the other hand, are going to be taking a much more strategic route because
you're chasing the wind?
Exactly right. You're chasing the wind in the right direction, and you're chasing not only where the wind is, but where it's going to be according to the forecasts, which actually leads to another huge improvement over the last 20 years, which is how long I've been doing it. When I first did the race, first couple of races, you'd use some sort of cockamamie system to pull down a fax of the weather, and then you'd look at it, and you'd look out the cockpit, and you'd laugh because it wasn't even close. The weather systems now, the folks at NOAA and the other national weather services have really gotten good at giving you reliable forecasts for wind. So what we now see is the boats cluster a lot more close together in their strategies because they all have the same data and it's reliable and they're not just blowing it off like we used to.
Hmm.
Speaking of the Wild West and wind, you recently took out a crew on a trial trip to Monterey. Did you see any whales?
We did, yes. So we were participating in the Spinnaker Cup, which is run by the Encinal Yacht Club locally, and it's part of a three-leg race all the way down to San Diego. The wind was light. It was maddeningly light. It drove us crazy. But what it did do is give us a chance to see what was floating around. And we saw a ton of whales heading both north and south. The most interesting thing was a young juvenile whale, I assume it was because it was small. And as we passed him, he just went nose down and was slapping his tail, probably slapped his tail about 15 times, which I Googled apparently is a way of either warning off an enemy or asking if they can come play or shaking off barnacles. So in other words, they don't know why they do it, but it was cool to see.
What do, let's say, the honor of the seas where you get a distress call from another racer and you know that maybe or maybe not you're the closest one, but you ruin your chances of winning the race. You got to, like, tack back maybe a day to pick them up. Is that just something that it's ingrained, or you're like, well, just wait for the Coast Guard, they'll help you?
Funny you mention that. In 2014, we received a relayed distress call from another boat, a local boat, Tiburon. Their rudder had broken off, and they were out of water. We immediately broke. Actually, I stuck my head out into the cockpit where the crew was. I said, "Boys, I have bad news and I have good news. The bad news is we're going to be late to the party. The good news is we're not going to have to buy another drink." And so we went up. By absolute good luck, we were only 12 miles away. So we went up.
Wow.
Sun was setting as we got there, so we actually waited till morning. We spent all night doing circles around them so they'd see us. We got a tow line to them, which was a little bit of a challenge. I almost tangled masts with them before we figured out to float the line over. Took them under tow, passed them 50, 60 gallons of water and tools and supplies to rig up an emergency rudder. The one they had didn't quite function.
Wow.
But stabilized them enough to be able to get them under control. So what happened in the race? Well, first of all, we are legally and morally obligated to render assistance, and of course we did.
Legally,
you are legally obligated to do that, both under U.S. and international law.
Okay.
The race organizers, there's a standing tradition, and it's in the race rules too, where you can apply for what they call redress, and they will compensate you, and the unwritten rule is overcompensate you for the time lost, which they did. And it worked fine. And as it turned out, no, we did not ever have to buy another drink for ourselves. What was particularly amusing also is our spouses, who were waiting for us, mm-hmm. would show up at the yacht club wearing our team shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally had to stop wearing the shirts because they were getting too many drinks.
So tell us how you passed the 50 gallons of water and other tools and things to them in those, and what were the conditions?
Yeah. We just have about a minute and a half.
Okay. Yeah. We basically hooked a clip over the tow line and shuttled it down over the tow line. It was not, you know, once we had them under tow, we were able to do that.
And that's not a big deal to tow another ship? I mean, you're not just crawling through the water?
We were just crawling, but at that point, we weren't in a hurry. We were more interested in getting them stable.
They didn't need to abandon ship or anything.
When we first spoke to them on the phone, they sounded pretty, you know, concerned, but they did not have to abandon ship.
Well, it's fascinating stuff, and as always, you can find out more at SailSportTalk.com. We're with Michael Marazada. He is with the PAC Cup 2022, and do you have a website as well?
SailOaxaca.com.
There it is. Thank you so much for coming in, and Karen, you as well.
Good to see
and
you,
Patty,
and thank you, Michael.
As well. All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.